Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important and fastest growing, even the largest segment of society today. To those who have finally come to realize that the world's political, religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. We're also those who have come to know that there is a God. He despises religion. The world's largest religions point away from him, not to him. And that the founder of the world's largest religion was a false prophet. Our phone number, if you would like to participate in this discussion, if you'd like to articulate a different point of view, is 877-300-7645. You know, I have covered two of the conspiracy theorists' greatest myths here in the last week or so. We covered Building 7, of which all I got was, thank you for explaining that. I wonder how in the world anybody clings to the myth that the government bombed the building. Most recently, this idea that pharmaceutical companies are bad, that pharmaceutical companies are in a conspiracy to rob you of your health, and that you can get everything you need, no matter what your illness, from snake oil salesmen, just so long as you're willing to pay the tariff. Tangy tangerine will solve it all. Now, in this particular review of myths, most of the letters I received, and all of the most articulate ones, were thank you for going through that. Another conspiracy theory blown to hell. The facts don't fit the theory. I did receive two. I'm not going to speak of favorably, that tried to absolve Dr. Joe Wallach of complicity in a scam. I'm sorry for that individual, but there's nothing I can say that is going to be the least bit helpful to them. Another which said, that there are those who have benefited from vitamin supplements and mineral supplements. Well, I would agree. I've got no problem with vitamin supplements and mineral supplements. I take a vitamin supplement, and I will often take a mineral supplement. I think that the best answer is to eat healthy food in moderation. Not to overindulge in any kinds of food and eat a balanced diet in moderation, and to avoid processed foods. And when the conspiracy theorists talk about their GMOs, everything we eat is genetically modified. It has been for thousands of years. That ought not be your concern. Your concern really ought to be processed foods. And highly processed foods very often take the nutrients out of the food and instead provide things that aren't the least bit helpful to you, and sometimes even deleterious to your health. And the reason that processed foods with preservatives are so prevalent is because that's what people want to buy. It's not the food companies to blame for making them. It's our attitude. We want instant gratification. We want salt. We want sugar. We want artificial flavors. We just crave that sort of thing, and so processed foods dominate the shelves of supermarkets because that's what people want. My issue in terms of vitamins and minerals in supplements isn't the reason. I have no issue with them. I have an issue with the likes of a Youngevity that use a pyramid scheme to provide vitamins and minerals. If you want, as I do, to take a vitamin mineral supplement, go to the least expensive source to buy. I buy mine from Costco. We talked about Costco on a previous program, which is it's the most efficient place to buy products because it's the most efficient a company in the supply chain. It's also a company with good values that has corporate values that provide an excellent quality product at the absolute lowest possible price in the things that they offer. So if you want vitamins and minerals, buy them through a discount retail operation or a wholesale operation, and don't buy them through a pyramid scheme where you're going to pay five times more than the product's actually worth. But ultimately, folks, the things that you can do to maximize the likelihood that you're going to be healthy is to eat a balanced diet in moderation, exercise, take a standard vitamin and mineral supplement, when you have a malady, like whether it be cancer or whether it be diabetes, whether it be asthma, modern medicine has created, I wouldn't say so much cures for these things, but treatments that moderate the negative aspects of them. Like, for example, you know, HIV became a menacing and lethal disease, but there are now a number of medications that are, they don't cure HIV, they eliminate almost all of the negative effects of the disease. And so it's a combination of things. You know, I, for example, when my knees went out on me some years ago, as I was too old probably to be doing what I was trying to do and carrying heavy plants, which in an awkward way around an uneven lot, my knees went out of me, got lots of inflammation. And, you know, I went to a orthopedic surgeon who says I can do a lateral release, or you can go to physical therapy. And the physical therapy, they're not only going to work the inflammation out and away from the joint, but they're going to help you strengthen the muscles and cartilage and like around the joint, and you're probably going to have better results at physical therapy. Went to physical therapy. Miraculous, really, in the result of that treatment. And so, you know, there's lots of things that we can do to take responsibility for our health. You know, if you have diabetes, if you lose weight, if you eat a healthier diet, why, it won't resolve all of the issues. And while I would still encourage you to use insulin and the other treatments that modern medicine has conceived, the fact is that many people put themselves into a diabetic condition because of obesity, because of lack of exercise, because of a poorly managed diet. Now, that's not the case with everyone, but it is often the case. You know, lots of people contract cancer because they smoke. Lots of people have liver and kidney failure because they drink too much. You know, there's lots of things that we can do to be more responsible, and I would encourage people to do them. And if you want to be responsible with your money, don't buy products from a pyramid scheme. Yesterday, we ended our news segment of the program talking about a propagandist film that was produced by the Islamic State. And in it, there was a Canadian who was previously known as André Poulin, who was referring to himself, or had referred to himself, as Abu Muslim, who was telling all who would listen that, well, lying about his past actually is how he began, that he was not a social outcast, he was not an anarchist, that he didn't want to destroy the world and kill everybody. He was a regular person. It wasn't true. He, in his teens, before he even converted to Islam, was arrested for building explosive devices and was promoting the fact that he, in fact, was an anarchist. You know, truth doesn't matter in Islam. It's all about the lie. It's all about the illusion. So in the video that features Abu Muslim, the Canadian. It shows him talking about how marvelous it is, how great an opportunity it is for Muslims to engage in the Great Jihad, to join ISIS as it establishes its caliphate. And then you see Abu Muslim in a battle where he is killed, and you see his dead body in the film. And it's truly amazing that a religion can be so warped, it can be so fixated on killing and death, that a video that says, go off and kill and be killed, will lure Muslims to the battlefield. As we continue with this story, the video was believed to be one of the first pieces of internet media which the Islamic State, and it was at the time it was known as the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, had produced. It was used in the English-speaking North American market. They had native speakers to produce videos really for every country, from France to Germany, Portugal, Italy, Greece, and throughout South America, and Spanish and Portuguese, and throughout all of the African countries, as well as throughout the Islamic world, of course. This production, which is a propaganda film, just like the Nazis produced propaganda film, the Americans for many years were engaged in producing government propaganda films as well. It was known as one of the slickest and most aggressive media operations in the Islamic world. That's why ISIS has become, or now the Islamic State, has become the most successful Islamic terrorist organization in world history. Now, as its fighters have gained more and more territory and more notoriety, as they have achieved ever more victories in battle, as they've confiscated ever more money, ISIS has taken over even World Cup hashtags on Twitter to spread propaganda to all of those that it's trying to encourage to die with them. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. One of the things that the Islamic State is using Twitter for is to spread death threats. Anyone who opposes it, anyone who opposes Islam, is subject to a death threat. I myself have, while I do not use Twitter or Facebook, have received many thousands of them. This is a quote from Laith Al-Khoury. He is an analyst for Flashpoint Global Partners, a New York security consulting firm that tracks militant websites. In other words, he is a joke. He says, once ISIS expanded into Syria. Now, if you begin your statement by saying, once the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria expanded into Syria, you're revealing that you're not very smart. It was the Islamic State in Iraq before it expanded into Syria. And it was only the Islamic State in Iraq after it had expanded into Syria. And of course it is the in Syria when it is the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. It was forced to compete with a lot of other jihadi groups. It was forced to compete with lots of other jihadi groups before it expanded into Syria. There are hundreds upon hundreds of fundamentalist Islamic jihadist groups. You could wipe out the 10 largest tomorrow and it would make absolutely no difference. There's hundreds upon hundreds of them. They only have one thing in common, it's Islam. And so while it is true that the Islamic State has to compete with al-Nusra for Sunni jihadists in Syria, they don't have to compete with anyone for jihadists in Iraq. They have essentially an exclusive franchise there. So This is really misleading. Now, as it relates to jihadi groups as a whole, the internet has been as favorable to them as the internet is to pedophiles. I mean, it is there's a lot of bad things that have happened because of the internet. And while this program wouldn't exist without it, while the books that I have written to expose and condemn Islam would be unknown without it, the internet is also a source of awful things as well. And one of the most awful is the prevalence of Muslim propagandists and apologists on the internet. And all of the Islamic fundamentalist organizations use the internet to recruit. That's where a lonely Muslim feeling at odds with the world and a sense of hopelessness turns to get inspiration, and they always lead them to the same place, to death and destruction. So as this reads, once ISIS expanded into Syria, it was forced to compete with a lot of other jihadi groups, and it took the production of its media to a higher level than any other jihadi group had previously created. And I'm not going to even say that's true, Mr. Al-Khoury. The most tech-savvy, internet-savvy, presentation-savvy, fundamentalist Islamic group was Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula. Their website, their Islamic magazine called Inspire, was a very professional presentation. It easily is the most professional presentation that I have witnessed online on behalf of Islam. There was another very slick presentation and I've forgotten the name of it, but it is it was designed to show that the miracles of the Quran, that the Quran had scientific revelations in it that were so far beyond an illiterate man in Arabia that the Quran had to be inspired. Now, when you actually used evidence and reason to think about what was being said, there wasn't a single thing that was being said that had any credibility whatsoever. And as a matter of fact, it was laughably pathetic in terms of its content. But the video quality, the presentation quality, the editing quality, the visual presentation, if you will, and the audio behind it was extraordinarily well crafted. A fundamentalist Muslim who is bent on deceiving, he's using overt lies on behalf of jihadi Muslims, the Muslim guy. He has a very polished website. So there's a lot of people who are a lot more polished and internet savvy than is the Islamic State. So this is a bit of an exaggeration. Your analyst for Flashpoint Global Partners, the New York security consulting firm, went on to say that speaking of ISIS, which is now really just is the Islamic State, it literally revolutionized how it produced, distributed, and translated its message very quickly. Boy. Superlatives that really aren't justified. The Islamic State does produce effective jihadi videos. It's effective only in the sense that they lure those looking to die to gain admission into the Islamic paradise by killing. So they're marketed to the stupid. It's sort of like the miracles of the Quran. It's glitzy, but marketed to those who can't think. And to say that the Islamic State revolutionized how it produces, distributed, and translated its message quickly is hyperbole. It says the production value is very high. No, the production value is adequate. Law enforcement officials in Europe, Canada, and the United States have uncovered evidence that many of the foreigners who have traveled to Syria have been inspired by online media they have seen from jihadists. No, not some. We're talking about all. there really isn't anyone who has left the Americas, who has left Europe, who's left Africa or Asia to go fight in the Great Jihad in Greater Syria that wasn't initially inspired by glamorizing jihad on the internet. Law enforcement officials, therefore, are stating the obvious. Through chat rooms, email, and text messages, the groups arranges for them to travel to Syria to begin their training. The recruitment videos featuring Mr. Poland is called The Chosen Few of Different Lands. Yeah, chosen. They're not chosen. They choose. You know, they go from a place where freedom reigns to a place where there is no freedom. They go from a place that celebrates life to a place that celebrates death. It starts with a picturesque presentation of the Canadian countryside that Mr. Poland described. He says, before I came here to Syria, I had money. I had family. I had good friends. I had colleagues, Mr. Poulin said. You know, I worked as a street janitor. I made over $2,000 a month at this job. It was a very good job. It was a very good job, a street janitor. You know, I guess if you're a nincompoop. I don't want to dismiss being a janitor. There's a man that works in the Los Angeles Sanitation Department that raised a son based upon values, worked with his son, lifted his son up, and his son got a full scholarship to Stanford University, graduated from Stanford, and has come to become one of the most articulate and now most successful players in the NFL, Richard Sherman. So you can make a job whatever you put into it. But I don't think that this man who raised Richard Sherman, for example, would say, it was a very good job, a very good job, being a street janitor. He added, even though I wasn't rich beyond my wildest imaginings, you know, I was making it. It was good. And you know, I always had family to support me, and I had friends to support me. But life in Canada was not religiously fulfilling, Mr. Poulin said. And he asked his fellow Muslim brothers on the video how they can please Allah when they are living in a country where the taxes are being used to assist the war on Islam. Oh, if only. If only our taxes were being used in a war against Islam. That would be a change for the better, but they're not. But again, it is by inverting the truth, by revisionist history, by lies that Islam was conceived, and that's its only appeal. Now, appealing for help, he said that the jihad in Syria needed engineers, it needed doctors, it needed fundraisers and others. Even if you cannot fight, you can give us money, he said. And if you cannot give us money, then you can assist in technology. And if you can't assist in technology, then you can use some other skills. Oh, yes, there has been thousands of women who have been recruited for sex jihad. He said that those who came to the expansive territory his group controls in Syria, those who come there, will be very well taken care of here. Your families will live here in safety, just like back home. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll work. Your families will live just like they live back home. Yeah, there's a lot in common with life in Canada and life under the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. Both gravity applies, works in both places, right? There's air to breathe. The sun does come up and go down in both places. What else would you say they have in common? I'd say nothing. But then again, I would be rational, and this person is not. According to the prosecutor in Timmins, Ontario, in Canada, Mr. Andre Poulin's hometown, Mr. Poulin was arrested twice before converting to Islam in 2008. Doesn't take much Islam, evidently, to die, killing others on behalf of the religion. The prosecutor said that in 2009, Mr. Poulin moved in with a Muslim couple in the Timmins who had a child. Shortly afterward, Mr. Poulin began having an affair with the man's wife. He then started threatening the husband, telling him he was going to kill him because he was not sufficiently religious. Now, mind you, Mr. Poulin had converted to Islam in 2008. In 2009, he is living with another couple, threatening to kill the man because he's not sufficiently religious, and he's doing the man's wife. Boy, it doesn't take very long before Islam turns your world upside down. At least twice in 2009, Mr. Poulin was arrested on charges of making violent threats against the husband. On one occasion, Mr. Poulin had a box cutter and another weapon positioned against his throat. Oh, Islam is a lovely religion. Totally and completely destroyed this man's capability of exercising good judgment. It made him a moral midget. After one of those arrests, Mr. Poulin admitted to making the threats and also described other activities to the police. He bragged about them. He talked about making bombs. He admitted that he looked on the internet at the Anarchist Cookbook, which was a part of the Inspire magazine that I spoke to you about earlier, about how to build bombs with materials you can buy at the grocery store. Mr. Verbeck, who is the prosecutor, says he doesn't care. He didn't care if he went to jail. He says that nobody is going to was going to help him, and that everybody is out to get him. That's the whole world of the mindset of a Muslim. The mindset of a Muslim is everyone is out to get me. Everyone is killing Muslim children and Muslim women, and the whole world's at war with Islam, when in fact it's just the opposite. The victims are those who are not Muslims. The victims are those who are not jihadi Muslims. The perpetrators are fundamentalist Muslims. They have literally turned the world upside down. For them, everything that we would consider and recognize as true is false. Everything we would consider false is true. It's why Allah is Satan. Yes, the God of Islam is actually the devil. Everything in Islam is backwards. Good is bad. Black is white. After one of those arrests, Mr. Poulin said, yeah, that's the way it is. I am a Muslim. These are things that I must do. He said that he had talked about sacrificing himself as a suicide bomber. Mr. Poulin was again arrested the second year after his conversion to Islam in 2010 and spent 2 weeks in jail. He said, I never heard from him again. He just fell off the radar, apparently. It didn't turn out so well for Mr. Poulin. Oh, he is shown in the video going on the great jihad and being killed in his first fight. CNN reports each day they live in fear. Sometimes it's the fear of rockets dropping from the sky. Sometimes it's violent fundamentalists taking over their cities. Sometimes it's the barrel bombs stuffed with TNT and nails. Exactly what horror they face depends on which city they live in. Syria, Iraq, Gaza, or Libya. What do you think that Syria, Iraq, Gaza, and Libya, and why don't we add Nigeria to the mix, Yemen, the Sudan, Somalia, most of Kenya, Egypt. What do those countries have in common? Gee, I wonder where the countries are that violent fundamentalists are fearsome. where barrel bombs stuffed with TNT and nails are dropped. Would they have one thing in common? I suspect they do. Islam. Each with its unique crisis. No, they don't have a unique crisis. Crisis is all the same. One common denominator, CNN journalist, it's Islam. But all are now unified in a heightened sense of anxiety as the years of conflict come to a head. They're not coming to a head. They're not coming to a head. They are actually just rising. It is exactly as we were told it would be, that there would be an avalanche of terrorism, birth pang caliber terrorism, in the last days prior to Yahweh's return. And with birth pains, you get greater frequency and greater magnitude of the pain of the pangs before birth, just as we are seeing a much greater frequency of Islamic terrorism and a much greater intensity of Islamic terrorism. We'll be back. Turning to the news, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who I am no fan, said something that is actually true. You know, it's not a, it's never the case that those who are in positions of power lie all of the time. They can't. If they were to lie all of the time, no one would ever believe them when they are lying. He said, speaking of Syria, no one is winning. No one can win. Even if one side were to prevail in the short term, the devastating toll will have sown the seeds of future conflict. Yeah, that's the bottom line there. I can't tell you for certain that the Islamic State and al-Nusra will prevail over Damascus. I can't tell you if Damascus, with its Hezbollah militant allies, will prevail over the Islamic State and al-Nusra. I can't tell you if the Russian and Chinese and Iranian arms will succumb to the American and European weapons being deployed on one side or the other of that conflict. Long term, I can tell you what's going to happen because Yahweh told us, because the math is clear. Yahweh told us that the Syrian government would fall. The greater Syria, which would be Syria and Iraq, would succumb to terrorists. He then portends things that are far worse than that in terms of its effect on the world. But also, the math is equally clear. In the math, what we find is that Sunnis outman Shias 4-1. They outgun them 10-1. So we know what's going to happen. For Americans thinking that the Syrian crisis doesn't hit home, the CNN article says, think again. U.S. intelligence and law enforcement have dozens of investigations underway tracking Americans who have traveled to Syria for the fight. The FBI and other members of the intelligence community have made this a top priority by taking whatever steps they can under the law to monitor and prevent those from coming back and doing us harm. They can't prevent them from coming back. They will come back. And the reason they will come back is because the United States is unwilling to declare Islam illegal. It's unwilling to shut down Islamic influences in the country. And in the 17th chapter of Yahshayahu, when Isaiah is being told by Yahweh what's going to happen in Syria, he's really clear that the jihadists who waged war in Syria will find that there's no one left to terrorize in Syria, in greater Syria, and so they will return to their countries and they will terrorize them, which will cause the world to sacrifice Israel, bending the nation at the waist, which will then abet World War III. This is precisely what God said was going to happen. And you don't even have to look at prophecy. All you have to do here is look at our past. The last time we played this game, the last time the United States aided and abetted Mujahideen and jihadists from Islam to fight a proxy war against a secular government. It was in Afghanistan. And immediately after they prevailed against the Soviet-backed government, they just came back to the countries from which they had left, and they perpetrated for a decade the worst Islamic terrorist atrocities the world has ever seen. Well, the great jihad in Afghanistan isn't 1%, isn't even 0.1% as big as what we're witnessing in Syria and Iraq today. Hello, Glenn. I'm glad to see you with us here. I would love to be able to bring you live. I hope that Randy can, because my internet connection is not, I think it's actually my browser that is failing, so I can't bring you live, but hopefully Randy has. Hello, Glenn.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Very, very good. Yes, sir. You got to be pulling my leg. I mean, it's hard to believe anybody falls for this type of recruitment.
I'm not yeah. sure that I'm not sure pulling has any legs at this point.
No. It's like shouldn't that Al Qaeda recruitment magazine actually be called Expire? Given the circumstances.
Instead of you're funny. Instead of you're pulling my leg, and instead of inspire, expire. Yeah, well, I will tell you that the last person that we know of that actually made a pressure cooker bomb based upon its instruction has expired. That was Boston bomber. So you're right. We'll be back after the news and commercial break. Stay with us, Glenn, if you can. I'm Yada. You're listening to Shattering Myths.